come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
I want to bring your attention again. This is time to sign up for Women's Retreat. You don't want to miss out and have to end up spending $175 instead of $155. So we want you to get to it. And so there are signups out there. You can go ahead and sign up. You don't have to pay anything when you sign up, but you need to get that $155 thing. You have to be paid in full by July 16th. And I know you don't want to miss out on Kate Merrick being here. Most of you who were at the luncheon got one of these cards, and you can pick up more out there if you want to invite some people to what's going on here on that day, June 30th at 7 p.m. This is a women's event, although there is nothing on here that gives indication that it's for women only. It is a women's event. And then, of course, Refresh is starting, and our new Refresh group that are going to be getting together once a month, every month. So we're excited about that happening, and we want you to be a part of all of that. So I'm excited about this chapter. Of course, I'm excited about every chapter. I get up here and say, I'm excited about this chapter. This is my favorite chapter. This is my favorite book. Well, John happens to be today my favorite book. And I am excited about these things that are in the book of John, in chapter 12. So Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just anoint my words, Lord, Father, God, that you would just cause me to only speak your words, to help me put aside everything that's gone on today, Lord, and to just center in on you, Lord. We want to be like these Greeks who came to Philip and said, we would see Jesus. And so, Lord, we would see Jesus today, Lord. Help us to center in on who you are and what you're doing and what you're going to do. Father, help us to set our eyes like flint on you, Lord, never straying from to the east or to the west or to the right or to the left, not just looking straight ahead, that we would have dove's eyes, that we would only see what's in front of us, Lord, and our eyes would be fixed on you. We thank you for this chapter. We thank you for your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So here it is. It's nearing the time of Jesus' crucifixion. His time is running out, not running out, but coming up, as God had told him. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and it was so full in Jerusalem that he was able to, according to law, he could stay in Bethany. Bethany was close enough to Jerusalem that they were allowed to stay there in Bethany, and that's where Jesus was staying. Now, Jesus was staying at Lazarus's house. We've always heard in the past, we heard it called Mary and Martha's house. However, it would have been Lazarus's house because he was the man of the house. So here he is at Lazarus's house, and it reminds us that this is the Lazarus who was raised from the dead. And I wonder how many other Lazaruses there were around in that area there. But they were and they were doing the things that they normally do. Martha was about her busyness. Martha was about her cooking and her getting, making sure that Jesus knew how important he was to her. So she's in there cooking and serving, and she loved Jesus, and she was showing the way that she loved Jesus by the things that she did. She was good at cooking, she was good at serving, and she knew that that makes other people feel important when you serve them. And so she did what she could, in the same way that Mary did what she could. So Martha loved Jesus just as much as Mary did. She showed it in a different way. And we all have our different ways of showing our love for Christ. We can show our love for Christ just as easily in the kitchen as we can anyplace else. We don't have to have a special place for that. Her love for Jesus was no less than Mary's love for him. And Mary loved Jesus, and she showed it by her actions. Now, it so says to us that here that she, there they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And so we have Mary filling the house with the fragrance of the oil. Mary gave everything that she had. This was very special oil. This most likely was the oil that was part of her dowry. And she is pouring it all out on the feet of Jesus. We see her humbly doing it, not because she was prideful in any way, not because of something that she wanted to be noticed for, but she wouldn't even look up because of her love for Jesus. And she poured that oil on his feet. And then it says that she wiped his feet with her hair. Now, the first thing that we know about that is that she was not self-conscious about the way that anything looked, because it was a sign of an immoral woman to let your hair down in the presence of any men other than your husband. And here she has completely let her hair down, and she is just over the feet of Jesus with that oil. And John tells us that there in the house, the fragrance was filled. The fragrance filled the whole house. I would say to you that it was the fragrance of Jesus that filled the whole house. But there was something else that happened. When Jesus left, he left with a fragrance on him. But Mary left. When Mary left, she also, because she had been at the feet of Jesus, because she had wiped his feet with her hair, she walked away from that place with the fragrance of Christ. So many times in our lives, we sit at something and we just go, oh, this was great. This was so good. And I just got the fragrance of Christ here, and it was so good. And then we go out the door and we stink. Anybody ever experienced that? And God would call us to go ahead and wipe the oil, wipe my feet with your hair, that you might have the fragrance of Christ. That we might have that fragrance of Christ upon us, that we might move forward and showing that to the world. Now, this Mary, there was a question about the Mary that is in Matthew 26:7. I believe that we're not talking about the same Mary here, because in Matthew 26:7, it was at Simon the leper's house, and she anointed, that Mary anointed him on his head, not on his feet. So I believe that these are two separate occasions, and there's something else different about this Mary of Bethany. The Mary of Bethany heard when Jesus said down in verse 7, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." She recognized what it was that she was doing. She was showing her love, but she was anointing Jesus for his burial. And so we don't see Mary of Bethany at the crucifixion. We don't see Mary of Bethany at the tomb for the anointing of the body, because she had already did exactly what she was meant to do. She had already anointed that body for burial. And so this is the Mary that we're talking about. She loved unselfconsciously, and she went on with the fragrance of Christ. And then we see some things that happened here. But one of his disciples in verse 4, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And it's not that he cared for the poor, John says. Because we know about this guy, John says, because remember, he's writing this from memory, all of these things that are in his memory. And he said he didn't care about the poor because he was a thief. I do not understand people who steal. I honestly don't. It's so foreign to me. It's not, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've got a lot of other areas that I can beat you in being bad at. But as far as thievery, when I was a kid, I stole a package, a big package of candy. And I took it out of the grocery store. And I couldn't even open it. I turned around and took it back into the store, set it on the counter, and left. I just couldn't do it. And I'm so glad that God never let that take root in my life. But as I said, there are plenty of other things. But here he says, not because he wanted to give it to the poor, but he was a thief and he had taken money from it. And imagine taking money from the ministry of Christ, the ministry of Jesus. This is the one you've watched him, Judas. You've watched him do these miracles. Do you still not believe he's God and you want to take from him? So I don't understand that, but Jesus understands that. And so we move down to verse 9. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests also came, and they didn't really come to see Jesus, and they didn't really come to see Lazarus. What they came to do is to plot to put Lazarus to death, because they wanted the witness gone. They wanted that witness of what Jesus had done. Look, he just died again. But John Corson says, and then Jesus probably would have raised him up again. And then he would have died again, and he would have raised him up again. Maybe the up and down and up and down is what John said. But we don't know about that. But this is what they know that we know that they were plotting to do. Try to do away with any sign of Jesus. And you know, we see that a lot today, don't we? We want to do away, we don't, but there are people who want to do away with any sign of Christianity, any sign of Christ. They want to do away with all of that because it's the separation of church and state, or it's anti-this, or it's anti-that, and they want to do away with it, but God won't have that. Because on account of Jesus, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. That's why he was, they wanted to put him to death. Then verse 12, then the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of trees and went out to meet him and cried, Hosanna, which is to say, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Zechariah 9:9, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, our king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. What was happening here? As the chief priests were plotting to kill Lazarus, we have the triumphal entry. We call this the triumphal entry. And here they are. We've actually got two crowds going right now. We've got this crowd going that are coming into town with Jesus. And we've got this crowd going that are coming out of Jerusalem with Jesus, or to see Jesus. And here, that must have been amazing to see them all meet together, yelling and waving and laying down these palm branches. Now, these palm branches were of significance in the way that they said, we are free. You have brought us freedom. We are liberated because of your kingship. And it goes back to the time of the Maccabees, when the Maccabees came into town and they would lay down those palm branches there, and just signifying that they had been liberated. And so here they are coming in to, and saying, Hosanna, save now. And he rode on this donkey. Now, kings who came into town, and there were a number of kings that I could have written down here, but I only remember one of the names because it's fun to say. Mephibosheth was on one of them. And he rode in on a donkey. When they rode in on in peace, they would ride a donkey. If they were riding on a horse, you knew that they were a king of war. They were on their way to war. And so here we have Jesus on the donkey, not only a donkey, but he was one who had never been ridden before. Now, you know what that's like, right? I mean, you've seen movies, at least, of trying to get on some kind of an animal that's never had somebody sitting on it before. And yet, here's Jesus sitting on this one who had never had anyone sit on it before, and he's just directing it one way or another. And you know what? I know it's not a mule, but a lot of us are stubborn as mules. And Jesus wants to direct us, and we don't want to be directed by him sometimes. But this one followed just exactly what Jesus wanted him to do, and he'd never been had anyone ride on him before. And his disciples, verse 16, did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. They told the story. They told the story of what they had seen. They bore witness to what had happened. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. And look at verse 19. The Pharisees, therefore, said amongst themselves, and I love this. You know how I've said before, I love to get a picture of what was going on here. And I say, you guys aren't doing anything. Well, you're not doing anything. Well, you're not doing anything. Look what's happening. The whole world is going after him. The whole world is going after him. And little did they know, those who were enemies of Jesus said the very thing that Jesus was sent here to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Here we have them proclaiming that the whole world has gone after him. I love that. I love that there. In verse 20, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. The Greeks were people who were very, very worldly. They had a lot of gods that they worshiped. They were everything that was up and coming, they were a part of. They wanted to be a part of everything. But these particular Greeks had given their lives over to Judaism. We see that because here they are coming to the feast, which gives indication that they were not, they were no longer following after their religious rituals and all that sort of thing. And so here they are, and they came to Philip, it says. Now, why would they come to Philip? Perhaps because Philip is a Greek name. Perhaps because they knew that he came from Bethsaida of Galilee. But at any rate, they came to Philip and asked him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I just love that phrase. We would see Jesus. Oh, that I would see Jesus. That would be the desire of my heart. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, to say how I love him. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to listen. Open my eyes that I could see you, Lord. I messed up that whole song there. But it is so, Lord, let me see you. I would see Jesus. In the midst of the trials and the challenges that have gone on in your life, maybe even today, was something inside of you that said, I want to see Jesus. I just want to see Jesus in this. It's a mess, but I want to see Jesus in this, and I know that I can get through it. And so Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus, and Jesus answered them and said, okay, guys, my time has come. Remember before, he always said, my time is not yet, and now he says, now's the time. Now's the time. He goes on to tell them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, and if it dies, it produces much grain. And he was speaking of his death. Here he was going to be put to death. And that grain of wheat has to be buried in the ground. It has to go in the ground. It produces nothing if it's protected and in a safe place. You put your little grain of wheat in a safe place and you expect to have a harvest from it. It's not possible because it has to go down into the dirt, down into the tomb, if you would, that it has to die and it has to resurrect in some way that it produces more fruit. And that's what he's talking about. If I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. And that's going to come a little bit later in our text. He needed to die for the sins of the world. He would be put in the tomb. He would rise again. He would be our sin, the one who forgives our sins. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If I want to just live my own life, I want to do it myself. If I want to just live for myself, I'm going to be the saddest person around. But if I will die to myself, if I will die to my desires, if I will die to my own grabbing at things, God will give me that eternal life. Not because I died to stuff, but because he died for me. And he gives me that eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor, and I want to be honored by the Father. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I ask the Father to save me at this time? But the purpose that I came, it's the purpose that I came, that I would understand, that I would give my life for the sins of the whole world. How can I say, Lord, deliver me from this? And we know that when he was praying and he said, is there any other way? Is there any other way? And he knew that there was no other way. And here we see Jesus, for this purpose, I came to this hour. He knew his purpose. I wonder if we know our purpose here on earth. Do you know your purpose? Your purpose is to live for Christ. And the main thing that he's concerned about in verse 28, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven and saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How did John know that this was what was being said? We don't know. Maybe Jesus told him, because all of the people said, therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel spoke. But here we are. Therefore the people thought it was thunder. Some standing by would mistake the voice of God for thunder. They weren't used to hearing the voice of God. They just weren't used to hearing the voice of God. Remember Paul, when he was spoken to by God, and everybody said it sounded like thunder? Because we're not used to hearing the voice of God. We need to get used to hearing the voice of God. What do you think? Yes, I know you agree with me. What God did for Jesus, he does for everyone. When he sends us out on a road, he doesn't send us without directions or without guidance. When he gives us a task, he gives us strength. God is not silent. And ever again, our trouble is not that God does not speak to us. It is that we won't listen. It's not that God's not speaking to us. It is that we won't listen. And we need to take that time. And Jesus answered and said, this voice didn't come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And it goes on to say, signifying the death that he would die, that he would be crucified, and that he would be lifted up in that way. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And then Jesus said to them, a little while longer and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. He was speaking in terms of a day. the sun comes up. The sun is only shining for a certain number of hours. And all of a sudden, that sun goes down or appears to go down. I know it's not really going down. We'll not get technical here, right? But we say the sunset. So the sun's setting, and it gets dark. And when you're in the darkness, you can't see where you're going. And Jesus is saying, while there is time, walk in the light. While you have the light with you, walk in the light. While you have this life, walk in the light. Because if we decide to walk in darkness, the darkness will overtake us. It will overtake us. And so walk in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from every sin. And so these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. So you see, it's not the signs that bring people to Jesus. It is a heart that is willing to believe, that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which spoke when he spoke, Lord, who has believed your report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Does that mean that God himself hardened their heart? Does it mean that God himself blinded their eyes? We only need to go back to Pharaoh and all of the things that happened with Pharaoh. Pharaoh chose to harden his heart. He came to a place where he just said, no, I'm not going to do it. God gave him every chance, and then it says that God hardened his heart. It was a choice that Pharaoh made. It is a choice that these people will make. It's not that they can't see. It's that they won't see. It's not that they can't understand, but it is that they won't understand. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There were those who came to Christ, but they didn't want anybody to know about it. I've known people like that. And it doesn't take long for them not to be walking with Christ anymore. Because they want the praise of men more than they want the praise of God. Of course, none of us in this room are that way. Because we want the praise of God and not just simply the praise of man. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Don't you love this time of the year when everything's blooming and and we can't see? And I saw this little picture on Instagram today, and it said, oh, how I love the spring. And there were four pictures of people with eyes swollen shut and all, you know, from the pollen and all that sort of thing. So sneezing and carrying on, and I think that's where I'm at right now. So Jesus cried out, verse 44, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, and he who sees me sees him who sent me. Show me the Father. Have I been with you so long and you've not seen the Father? Jesus said to the disciples. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him. But it's for I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. John 3:17. Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was the purpose. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. You've heard. I've told you my word. You've heard my word, and you won't respond to it. It's not that you can't respond to it, but you won't respond to it. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, that's what I speak. This is the last time that Jesus will speak to the crowd. This is the last time that the crowd will hear him speak to them. From here on in, he'll speak to his disciples. He will talk to Pilate. But this is the last that the crowd will hear from him. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, all that we have known and did not do will be a witness against us at the last when that time comes. What will we do with Jesus? That's what it comes down to. What will we do with Jesus? And I ask you that today. I'm assuming every one of us in here has accepted Christ as our Savior. But even as we have accepted him and we are living our lives for him, do we say, I would see Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? Will we share him with the people around us? Because, ladies, we are in the last days. And Jesus is coming back. And I know that none of us are guaranteed 1 minute of our lives. We're going to go out one of two ways, either in the rapture, which I hope happens to me, or these bodies that were never meant to last forever are going to give up, and mine's given up quicker than I thought. But either way, we're not promised anything. So let's live for Jesus now. Let's die to ourselves. Let's let the world see what a real Christian is. Let's live for something more than what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel. And live for God. Live for God. Share him with the people around you. What will you do with Jesus? And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you have heard our hearts, Lord, that you have spoken to us tonight, Lord, in ways that we didn't expect. And we've heard things that we didn't expect to hear, Lord. And that some of those things I didn't even say that people heard. And I know that, Lord, because you let us hear those things that are from you. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you, Lord, that you have just ministered to us, that you are going to continue to grow us, and that we're going to continue to say we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. We just want to walk with you, Lord. We just want to praise you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.